to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded August 5th, 2026. Well over the weekend, author, journalist, political disruptor, and longtime friend of this show, Eve Engler, was arrested in Montreal. The City of Montreal Police Service responded to a 911 call made by Quebec media personality Richard Martineau. Famous for his extremist views and aggressive style, Martineau claimed to the 911 operator Eve's public questioning of his position on the Gaza genocide was hyper-aggressive. Eve Engler's written a dozen books on Canadian foreign policy, including Stand on Guard for Whom, A People's History of the Canadian Military, House of Mirrors, Justin Trudeau's Foreign Policy, Left Right, Marching to the Beat of Imperial Canada. His latest is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. Eve's website, eveengler.com, is replete with hundreds of essays on that subject and others detailing the Canadian government's perfidy both abroad and from coast to coast to coast. His account of the Martineau encounter and subsequent arrest, yet again anti-Muslim columnist lies, claims victimhood, of course appearing at his site too. Eve Engler in the first half. And last week, Donald Trump announced the besieged government in Gaza had agreed to disarm. A hopeful sign, but as with all the American president's statements, it's to be taken with liberal amounts of sodium chloride. Andy Worthington is an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Four Fathers Band. He is, too, a co-founder of the ongoing Close Guantanamo campaign. His book titles include The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison, Stonehenge, Celebration and Subversion, and The Battle of the Beanfield. Andy's articles appear at andyworthington.co.uk and at his eponymous Substack site, where I found his recent post, Hamas Agrees to Disarm, but Only if Israel Leaves Gaza. Andy Worthington and the prospects of an American-brokered peace in Palestine in the second half. But first, Eve Engler and trying to take Quebec's serious press seriously. Welcome back to the show, Eve.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my great pleasure, of course. And usually, Eve, I take more time between our conversations, but I'm always interested to know what happened when Canadian journalists are arrested for doing journalism. So, Eve, how is the City of Montreal Police Service defining your brand of journalistic inquiry in this case?
They're defining it as criminal harassment, which I guess is a step better than what they began with, which was making threats. When I bumped into Richard Martineau and his partner, Sophie Durocher, who are prominent media personalities here in Quebec, and started asking them about the genocide, asking about their Islamophobia, and I should say asking about another interaction I'd had with them 15 months ago, when I asked about the genocide, and Martineau claimed that I was violent, when in fact it was him that snatched my phone from my hand and kept my phone and was the one that was clearly aggressive. He claimed that he told the police that I was making threats of some sort. I have a video of everything, so there was clearly no threats. But yeah, the police, I think they charged me because I'm presuming here he contacted some friend who's a higher up in the police. And there's a little bit of I scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of dynamic where Martineau is a staunch proponent of the police and has been recently writing about how anyone who insults the police should be jailed and stuff like that. So he's a bit of a darling of the SPVM, the Montreal Police. And I think that that's why they charged me with criminal harassment, which, you know, may or may not get dropped before it actually arrives to the court.
Well, now, when you say that he's prominent, he and his wife, this Martineau character, that in Quebec, which means, of course, 90% of English Canada have never heard of him. What kind of a journalist is he? And do I need to put scare quotes around that word?
Yeah, he's the most prominent columnist at the biggest paper in the province, the Journal de Montréal. His column appears usually on page 4 or 6. It's not actually even on the op-ed page. It's kind of a standalone column. And he also has a radio show that's the same company, the Quebecor. And he appears on the TVA, the television station owned by the same company, the biggest media conglomerate in Quebec that kind of really dominates most of the, or a huge swath of the cultural sphere outside of Radio-Canada. So yeah, he's, I would say by As I have said to some people, he's, not as anti-Palestinian as a Toronto Sun columnist, like a Brian Lilly, but he is more anti-Muslim, more openly anti-Muslim than a Toronto Sun columnist. There's, some slight different political dynamics in Quebec that maybe a little bit more pro-Palestinian and a little less openly, or a little bit more openly racist against Muslims. He's a reactionary on, women's rights, on, he's about more, how he would frame it is entrepreneurship, but in fact is, more billionaires. He's, part of the general kind of right-wing outlook. What I think is maybe a bit different, I don't know, but his willingness to, his belligerence in person is kind of a little bit stunning, and his willingness to just completely lie, even when there's like video showing that he's lying. Like, so for instance, when I bumped into him 15 months ago on more or less.
And Eve, you should not say bumped into, because it does, it sounds physical. Now, you didn't actually bond, you didn't, because I've seen your videos. Unfortunately, you take videos when you do these interventions or disruptions. And this guy in the first one, from a year and a half or a year 15 months ago or whatever, I mean, this guy came charging right at you. And you can see this guy is he's a pretty belligerent character by the looks of your video account of it.
And the video account is the reality. Like, in that case, I asked him in French about the genocide in Gaza in a totally non either aggressive or loud tone initially. And within 13 seconds of the question being asked, he's like snatching the camera from my phone from my hand. And it's true in that case that I became loud in demanding my phone back, because he was like basically stealing my phone. There's, evidence that, I mean, and so he goes on to the radio program the next day, and it's like this guy comes up to me, starts speaking to me in English about, and it's like, dude, I have the video of it. It's like, you're just lying. It's straight lie. And but he doesn't stop. He keeps pushing it, and in the first instance, kept pushing it, repeatedly brings it up, to the point where like he has a debate about it with Alex Tirrell, who's the leader of the Green Party of Quebec. And it ends up being like this 15-minute debate about like sort of street journalism and the legitimacy of these questions and stuff like that. And then the next day, after Alex Tirrell like kind of, I think, embarrasses him, he goes on the air and says that the cops tell him that Alex Tirrell is a Russian agent. It's just like it's just sort of embarrassing. But the part of I had never listened to his radio before. I read the Journal de Montréal every day, so I see his columns. I mostly don't read them, but I see them and I read some of them. And so I was aware of him in that sense. I probably had seen him on TV before, maybe saw a radio clip, but I basically, wasn't familiar with that. But when he in his radio and whatever, he plays himself kind of as a tough guy, like the macho guy against the woke and all this kind of stuff. But then when you actually get down to it and you ask a guy a question, and he's like the biggest baby you can imagine, right? Like he's like calling the cops immediately. He's snatching your phone or whatever. So it's kind of a weird,
Well, this is cry bullyism, right? This is the cry bully, and we've seen it with the defenders of genocide who will start hitting themselves in the middle of a demonstration, for example, and say, "Oh no, I'm being hit," and they'll start screaming, "Oh no, they're hitting me." And well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm sitting today again with Eve Angler. Eve's a journalist and author. He has a dozen books on Canadian foreign policy, including Stand on Guard for Whom, A People's History of the Canadian Military, House of Mirrors, Justin Trudeau's Foreign Policy, Left Right, Marching to the Beat of Imperial Canada. His latest book is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. His website is eveangler.com, where his hundreds and hundreds of articles feature. His latest one, again on the issue that we're talking about right now, is yet again anti-Muslim columnist lies, claims victimhood, bully, cry bully, as I put it. When you say, Eve, that he, Mr. Martineau, or Monsieur Martineau, and perhaps his employer aren't as bad as, say, the Toronto Sun. Are they as bad as the National Post? Are you, in your article, the one I just cited, you've got some quotes that are being put forward by columnists in that rag, the Barbara Kay being one, and Terry Newman, who, you know, expresses great pleasure that you are having legal troubles with the Montreal SPVM. And then mentions, well, they finally, rather peevishly, I thought, got around to my case, and they dismissed, the Montreal police dismissed his case. What case is he talking about?
Well, Terry Newman, she posted about this 6 or 7 months ago. I'd kind of forgotten about it, but there was some sequence on X, Twitter, about globalized intifada, and someone had taken a claim that someone who posted globalized intifada was, you know, breaking the law or something like that. And then Newman was complaining about it, or there was some thread. And so, you know, as part of this thread, I responded by saying globalized intifada at the National Post. And she claimed that was, I don't know, a threat or something of the sort. And I guess went to the Montreal police about it. And I think that what she was reporting in reaction to this me being charged in response to this Martineau thing is that she's reporting that SPVM had got back to her saying, you know, like, there's nothing here. But it sounds like they got back to her saying there's nothing here in a kind of convoluted way by trying to pass the buck into saying they needed some sort of, like, I don't know what exactly from Twitter, some sort of international, like, confirmation that it was me that said it or something. I am not exactly clear. But my assumption here is the Montreal police look at this and say, well, like, this is absurd to claim that this is some sort of threat, to claim this is some sort of, like, danger. But they don't actually want to tell the National Post that there's nothing here, because, you know, she is a National Post columnist who regularly appears on the front page of that paper, and they don't really want to, you know, like, have some what they might consider embarrassing column about it or something like that. And but the piece that I was, you know, pointing out today, that I published today, is that there's all these Zionists, including the one as a former Canadian ambassador to Norway, and then this prominent deputy assistant or assistant deputy or something at Communications Security Establishment, which is Canada's NSA. He's like openly saying, like, oh, Eve should be jailed, and his incitement or his deserves to be jailed. These Zionists are not, they're not hiding at all. They're like just open fascistic character. They're just really proud to post online saying, like, yeah, jail anyone who asks tough questions about Israel. I mean, that's essentially their position, right?
Well, in this case too, Eve, this guy is Archer Wazinski, and he, the former Canadian ambassador, quotes Mayor Weinstein of the JDL. The JDL, as I recall, was listed as a terrorist entity at one point. I don't know if the Canadian security establishment listed the JDL as such, but it has been listed by American authorities like that in the past, at least.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And this is also part of how the Zionists who presented themselves somewhat liberal going back a few years, they have just full throttle jumped into bed with the open, you know, Jewish supremacist fascists like Mayor Weinstein and the JDL. Apparently, I just saw a story today. Their JDL, they're reconfiguring, and they call it a new name. It's Jewish Defense League Force, or Jewish something. They got the word force in there, that Mayor Weinstein is trying to reestablish some, you know, offshoot of the JDL in Toronto. But yeah, they it's just open. You know, they'll say, you know, the protests, you got to shut down the protests. The protests, you know, they're illegal. Then it's the encampments, they got to shut down the encampments there. And then simultaneously, they're pushing to add new groups to the terrorism list. Then they, you know, Toronto police just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, target this prominent activist. And now they're claiming he, for a speech 2 years ago, he was giving support to Hamas because of words he said at a demonstration 2 years ago. So like on across the board, there's this effort to just completely trample on civil liberties in service of, you know, Israel killed over 150, I think 152, I think it was, people were killed in Gaza in July, right? Hamas didn't do anything. Resistance didn't do anything. Over 5 every day killed in Gaza, with Israel controlling 70% of the territory in Gaza. And, you know, a complete humanitarian catastrophe still, not as bad as it was at its worst point, and certainly the killing is not as bad as it was at its worst point, but like the acceptable norm under ceasefire is 5 Palestinians being killed every day, and you know, large swaths of the mostly children who live in Gaza having minimal amounts of food and horrible, you know, living conditions in terms of housing and whatnot. So this is just like endless effort to suppress any opposition to Canada's complicity in service of, you know, like the crimes. Like I joked in the worst sense, but a few months ago with the Walk for Israel in Toronto, it was like, if they would have dropped a bomb, if they would have dropped a nuclear bomb, the turnout would have been even bigger. They would, you know, at the Walk for Israel in Toronto. It's like the worse the crimes of Israel, the more aggressive Zionist activists and organizations are in Canada to just trample on the most basic of civil liberties. And they're, you know, it's complete mask off. There's no effort to hide it anymore. It's just like everybody who's, you know, does anything that questions or challenges genocide and Canadian complicity, you know, just needs to be fired, needs to be deported, needs to be jailed, whatever, right? It's just they're quite bold with it, and this is not, you know, happening off on the fringes. These are people who are like, you know, quote unquote respectable people, right? These are people who are like, you know, columnists for the National Post or former ambassadors, or, you know, this is not just off on some like fringe. This is you know, again, sort of quote unquote respectable people who are just will do anything to have more Palestinian and other blood spilt by Israel.
You quote John Fraser, an executive at Toronto Technology, saying that you, Eve Engler, are absolute human trash. You deserve a long stay in prison for speaking out in public and questioning these things. You describe it in your article, Eve, as a part of a broader movement pushing to repress opponents of genocide and the left. It's being described as a neo-McCarthyist Red Scare, I'll add. At that time, you mentioned in July the death toll in Palestine. At the same time, in the middle of July, July 18th, Canada passed, the Carney government passed Bill C-9, the so-called Combating Hate Act, which seems to be, as well as these attempts to criminalize entities here like Palestine Action Canada and MASIL, and also foreign entities that have already been proscribed, like Ansar Allah and the IRGC. They're pushing even further with what looks like anti-flag laws. You know, I remember when we used to joke about Israel making it illegal for a Palestinian flag to be waved. Now we're seeing it here, one flag after the other. And in mid-July as well, there was the Americans held this global campaign to crush radical left terrorism, a conference down there properly titled the Ministerial on the Resurgence of Political Terrorism, to which Canada sent a representative. What do you think about Canada attending this dubious meeting, where, you know, the majority of countries in the world did not send representatives to this Trump sideshow?
Well, it just shows that they're willing to legitimate whatever kind of fascistic dynamic coming out of the Trump administration. Carney's willing to just sort of do whatever Trump, you know, support Trump almost always, and to send a representative. There was a number of countries that were invited, Mexico even, you know, a trade partner equivalent to Canada that was invited, but doesn't, you know, explicitly refuse to send a representative because they don't want to legitimate this fascistic push from the Trump administration. So that's that's Carney. And then Carney, at the same time, he's boasting, I guess it was 2.5, 3 weeks ago, about the coming into force of the Bill C-9, the Combating Hate Act. And it's about strengthening the terrorism list. It's about you could find yourself in jail if there's a Israeli general speaking at a community center or a synagogue, and you go outside and you wave a Samidun Palestinian political prisoner's flag, or maybe even if you had a placard that said, oppose Israeli violence, support Samidun Palestinian Political Prisoners Network, you could find yourself in jail for quite a long period. This is, Carney, supposed liberal, boasting about this coming into force, and Sijja and B'nai B'rith were ardent supporters of this. And then you have the just published yesterday, the Canadian Press has a story from the Trump administration's special envoy on anti-Semitism, and he comes to Ottawa, I guess it was last week, he comes and says, you got to strengthen your terrorism list as part of the fight against anti-Semitism. Canada's got to strengthen the terrorism list, and there's this whole push in the last couple of days from the Conservatives to add forgetting to pronounce their name in Iraqi group, something Hezbollah, it's Iraqi group, put them on the terrorism list.
That's Kataib Hezbollah, and this is a Rabbi Yehuda Kaplan.
This is some of the image in the Canadian Press article is this guy, this anti-Semitic envoy, next to Adelson, Miriam Adelson, who, of course, the Adelsons are the biggest donors to Trump over the past 10 years, and she's an Israeli, and just fanatic, hardline Jewish supremacists. And this is I don't know the roots of this special envoy, but I presume it's kind of like Adelson's guy that Trump, as having received hundreds of millions of dollars from the Adelsons over the past decade in campaign contributions, that they're willing to that's a cheap exchange to create some envoy. And he's like traveling, I guess he travels the globe, pressuring countries to crack down on opposition to genocide, and that's what he apparently came. It's part of the Trump administration's kind of broader campaign of targeting the left at this conference of a few weeks ago in Washington was about the global campaign to, what's the exact title, is the global
But
campaign
to crush
terrorism.
crush them, crush them.
So this is a part of that piece, and I don't think that Mark Carney is on board for the most egregious elements of that. I think Mark Carney prefers a little bit of a liberal pretense to his.
Well, he did send a member of the embassy, the U.S. embassy, to go attend this red baiting conference.
So he wants to go somewhat down that path with Trump, but I think Carney prefers to have a little bit more of a liberal, a capitalist kind of policy rather than an explicitly authoritarian, fascistic capitalist kind of policy. But he's willing to clearly, and you see that with Bill C-9 or the Combating Hate Act, he's willing to go, significant steps in that direction, and also other entities. Like, I think the Toronto Police Service, as we talked about recently, with the recent arrest under the citing the Terrorism Act to arrest Ahmad Hajimad, but they, Toronto Police Service is full throttle down that direction of repress Palestine solidarity. And the Montreal Police, I think, as a general, aren't quite as bad on with regards to Palestine specifically as the Toronto Police Service, but they are clearly also, quite comfortable with targeting people for opposing genocide or asking tough questions of journalists who promote genocide.
Yeah, well, not yet, perhaps. You know, and what's old is new again. We're fast running out of time, even. Every time I want to talk about your book, Playing Left Wing, From Rink Rat to Student Radical, it's your first book. In it, in chapter 14, you sort of summarize and you say, those damn activists, sometimes activism can seem like a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. People have said to me, yeah, sure, I agree, peace and justice in the Middle East is a good idea, but what's the point of demonstrating? Nothing ever changes. I don't know how many times I've heard that sentiment in the work I do, the work you do. In our last minute or so, Eve, do you want to address your answer from way back then? This book was published in 2005. How much has changed and remains the same and has gotten worse since then? What do you say to the people that say, Chris, why do you keep doing this after almost 30 years? Nothing's getting better.
Well, I mean, I think that you look the long trajectory, and if you like having weekends, if you like having civil liberties, if you like having official equality between men and women, if you like the fact that slavery doesn't exist, if you like the fact that there's no longer, or at least most of the formal colonization of so many centuries, there's a reason for that, and it's not because people were accepting of those injustices. It's because people campaigned. Overwhelmingly, the people who campaigned obviously never recognized. They were mostly, targeted either in, the better cases, they were smeared as being, Min haters or anti-Semites or commie lovers or whatever the different smear over the years. But they persisted. And they're actually the reason why the gains and the improvements that we've had, many of the gains, at least, and improvements we've had in society are because of that activism and because, it doesn't change. And when you're confronting power, by definition, it's not easy. It doesn't change overnight, but it does change. If you look at the long arc of history, there's lots of evidence to demonstrate that those people that whether they were the ones who rose up in the Saint-Domingue slave plantations in 1791, or the suffragettes in the UK, or the strikes at after World War I in Canada. I mean, that's what changes history.
Well, you can join Eve on Mondays with the Canadian Foreign Policy Hour. I recommend that. Go to Eve's website, eveangler.com, to get the details on all the many other stuff he does. He's a very busy guy. Eve, thanks a lot for coming on. I will talk about the progress of this case, no doubt, as it moves along, or as if the Montreal police throw it out. And I'm very curious to find out if Richard doesn't get charged himself for making false statements to police and 911 regarding this incident that you have on video. But we'll talk about that another time. I'm going to take a break now. I'll be joined by Andy Worthington in London after the break. We're going to talk about many of these issues as well from a British perspective, which means with an accent. Thanks a lot, Eve, for coming on again, eh?
Thanks a lot for having me.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people whose bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.
Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire, fire.
The world and lie all the time, pretending you're not just committing war crimes, pretending there's anything about what you do that anyone might think has any virtue. But hiding the truth about an empire is even harder than hiding a building on fire. The lengths of deception, no matter how far, whatever you might spend on PR, your ballots are corrupted, your bullets are corroded. This sham is an is locked and loaded. For you, war and peace is just a new way to engage in some more casino play while you